So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
If you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or personal loans, help is here. More and more Americans turn to credit cards to get by. National Debt Relief is helping qualified clients reduce what they owe. For many, continuing to struggle making minimum monthly payments could take years to pay off. National Debt Relief has already helped over 550,000 Americans reduce their debt by negotiating directly with their creditors. When you call, you'll be amazed at how much you can save and how quickly you can become debt-free. If you want off the debt treadmill, visit NationalDebtRelief.com today. You don't need to declare bankruptcy, and you may qualify for significant debt relief. To find out what savings you may qualify for, simply visit NationalDebtRelief.com. That's NationalDebtRelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Welcome into the January 14th Wednesday edition of the second half of Sports Talk. Steve Geller, Charlie Long, bringing you until 8 p.m. this evening. Got plenty to get to on the docket. Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast will join us later on, talking about the Pellies taking on the Nets this evening. Also, look at the trade deadline approaching. And then in the 7 o'clock hour, Jeff Nowak, Saints sideline reporter, will join us. ESPN ranks the Saints with the top rookie class this year. We'll get into that. And also, little breakdown of the NFL playoffs, gets Jeff's thoughts on the matchup Saturday and Sunday throughout the league. As far as the Pellies, last night, another tough one for them. A loss in the Smoothie King Center and dropping it now to, I think it's 7 straight losses at home. Hopefully they can rectify that this evening. But we saw the team have a lead in the game until the fourth quarter once again, and the Pelicans unable to finish against the Denver Nuggets. And that was, we talked about, Charlie, a very winnable matchup for them, considering that you had known Nikola Jokic in the matchup. So attack. And for whatever reason, again, the fourth quarter woes come rear their ugly heads for these Pellies.
Consistency. That's what's been just plaguing this team, is that they'll get off to a good start. They led the entire game against Denver, it felt like, Steve. And then the fourth quarter comes about, and they get kind of bludgeoned once again, and they fall short. They lose another game. It was the same song and dance as it was like with the Magic game, like it was with the Lakers game last week. It feels like the Pelicans are consistently getting to that point. We listened to the Brego audio yesterday, Steve, where he's just like, we're so close. We just can't get it over the finish line. Well, that's on the players, I think, at that point. And I've been critical of Brego, but somebody needs to step up when it matters most. And the Pelicans have not found that person. You can't ask the rookies to do that, man. You can't be saying, you know, Love and Queen, go win us these games in crunch time. It's got to be on the veteran pieces of this roster to be able to get it done, and they have not done it.
And sadly, the guy that wants the ball is Jordan Poole, who I don't want to have the ball.
We'll talk with Madison about him in a couple segments here, Steve. But just like we talked with Dodson last night, don't be surprised to see the Pelicans move off of Poole. It just really hasn't worked. So there's nothing else to it. As far as other pieces that they may move on from ahead of the deadline, we'll get Madison's insight on that, what he expects, what he can report on, what he's hearing about the Pelicans before the deadline. That's about, you know, 3 weeks away from this point, Steve. So, but yeah, it was last night's game against the Nuggets, a winnable matchup. You were just slight underdogs. You led the whole way, and then you just let it go at the last second. The Pelicans against this Nets team that did bludgeon them when they played a couple months back, you know, if they get off to that good start like they've consistently been doing, fourth quarter comes around, you got to be able to close. It's the one thing this Pelicans team has not been able to do.
Mentioning good starts, checking in on the LSU men's basketball team. You can hear that over on 1350 AM, also 92.9 FM over on the Bet New Orleans. Tigers gutting off to a 12-3 start against those Kentucky Wildcats. Bayou Bengals 0-3 in SEC play right now. Kentucky 1-2. So this Tiger team desperately needs to get into that W column. against an SEC opponent. I mentioned in triple option, you know, after this stretch of tonight and then over the weekend, where you're going to face another, a winnable game, I would say, against Missouri. You're going to be facing like a Florida and Arkansas, ranked teams, Georgia down the line as well. Things don't get easier for this Tiger team, and I just worry that you're just going to be left in the dust here if you can't pick up a win today or even Saturday, Charlie, that I'm already going to say this season's a wrap.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve, but I believe the second half of their SEC slate is much more difficult than the first half.
You are correct, sir.
Yeah, you got to start picking up some wins ASAP. I think with the strength of the SEC the way that it is, you're going to be playing a lot of teams that are ranked, a lot of teams that are going to be in the top 25, a lot of teams that are going to be highly regarded in KenPom as far as different quadrants, Q1, very high Q2. You're going to have it's going to be a battle-tested LSU roster by the time SEC's play is done. But then you look at the start that they've had, you're like, darn. There's been a couple games that entering SEC play, you felt pretty good about LSU being able to pick up those games.
I just remember you texting me about that loss to South Carolina, right?
Oh, my goodness. And they got off to such a bad start in the South Carolina game.
Trying to dig out the hole, right?
They were down like 40-15 against South Carolina, who I think is projected to be near the bottom of the SEC this year.
Yes, sir.
It's like, man, that is a game that you cannot lose, but you get off to such a terrible start. And so now you're 0-3 in SEC play. If they can pick up a win against Kentucky, hopefully that can build some type of momentum towards the middle part of SEC play because, like I said, the second half gets a lot tougher for this LSU team. At the same time, like I also mentioned with the strength of the SEC in college basketball these days, if you can finish around 500 in conference play, that should be enough to get you to the tournament. That's how tough the SEC is in basketball right now. So if you're LSU and Coach McMahon, it's still early. It's a long conference slate that you have ahead of you, but you got to start picking up some W's.
Yeah, it's early, but 0-3 can't turn into 0-4, 0-5,
right? Yeah, exactly. Bingo. So pick up a win tonight against Kentucky. Start building some confidence. You know, this is a critical game. I don't want to be over-dramatic necessarily.
I'm with you, but I think it is one of those crucial.
It's like a must-win.
Yeah, I hate that term, but everyone's a must-win.
With a couple of games at home that you've already lost, this is one of those ones that you can't let get by.
Looking at this Tiger team, Kentucky, Missouri on Saturday, like I mentioned. Then on Tuesday, you're at number 19, Florida. And then next Saturday at number 17, Arkansas. So these next two, massive for the Bayou Bengals. Checking in real quick on the score there. It is 16-3 Tigers, so they're getting off to that fast start they need. 12 minutes left in the first. We'll be keeping an eye on that. You can tune in 1350 AM, 92.9 FM to catch all the action of LSU men's basketball. Taking a break, coming back with more of Sports Talk. We'll get into some Pelicans audio that we have before we get into Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast, host who will preview tonight's matchup against the Brooklyn Nets. We're going to step away, come back with more right after this, folks, on WWL.
Mom, I'd like to propose a dinner optimization plan for 2026. Soccer practice every week. Get back late and you're stressed out about making something fast but actually nutritious for dinner. When Ashley's mom picked me up, I noticed that she made Blue Apron. It came in like a little kit. By the time it was ready, I still had shin guards on. And it was real food, fresh veggies, protein, actual flavor. Take her from the younger generation or innovators. Keeping a couple Blue Apron meals around, not the worst idea.
Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Back here on WWL, your home of the New Orleans Pelicans. Tonight, the Pellies are taking on the Brooklyn Nets in the Smoothie King Center. Pre-game 6:30, tip-off 7 p.m. Right on the big 870 a.m., folks. Looking at the Kentucky versus LSU game going on. The Tigers still leading the Cats right now, 19-6, about 9 minutes left till halftime at the PMAC. Definitely keeping an eye on that one for you throughout the show. Getting into some more Pelicans talk, looking at Zion Williamson, who only had 12.7 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal, 31 minutes during last night's loss to the Denver Nuggets. It's a quiet night for Big Z as the Pelicans drop to 9-33 on the season. They're definitely going to need more of an output from them this evening against the Nets to have a chance at victory. Let's hear from Zion as he spoke to the media at practice the other day.
As y'all are halfway through the season now, what's kind of the mindset of this team going to the second half of the season?
We just got to, one, close games better. And, two, especially when Herb's out, our defensive presence just has to be better. Late in the game, teams are getting layups against us. Herb out there is a different story, but, when he's not out there, we still have to have some type of defensive, identity. So that's been one thing for us for sure.
What do you think of the jump that Trey's been making lately? He's second in the league in scoring in January.
I'm not shocked by it at all. If you were watching last year, you saw he started making these strides last year, really big strides. This year, I think it's just him just falling into that part, where it's just natural for him game to game.
Z, what do you think the biggest thing is that you could do to help this team defensively, right, to fight through that, especially when you don't have Herb out there?
Herb is obviously super talented defensively, physically, but he's also super vocal. And, right now we don't have that super vocal voice for us on the court, so that's definitely an area that I can step up in.
Now, what is this team's goal for the second half of the season? What do y'all want to do?
Just have a better defensive identity. Like I said, whether Herb's out there or not, we just want to be better defensively. Because, we don't get no stops. It doesn't matter how many points we score. We got to be able to get stops.
Do you have anything to say about the rookies? Rising Stars is coming up. We're going to find out who's going to be in it. But got two, obviously, good two choices here in New Orleans.
I feel like all three of them should be out there.
The case for Micah then, too.
Nah, for sure. Because, when Peeve steps on the court, he definitely has an impact with his minutes. Obviously, more so to the public, I think they know Fears and DQ are pretty much lock-ins, but in my personal opinion from the public, I think all three of them should be out there.
Have you seen DQ and Jeremiah specifically, though, improve since they've started? Because they've been getting a lot of minutes, consistent run. How have they improved for you?
They've made a lot of improvements. There are times where you can tell they're still making that adjustment from college, but they've made improvements with knowing when to kind of slow down, knowing kind of what sets to get in, when they should go, when not to go. But they're young, so they do have a lot of – they got time, but they've definitely made a lot of improvements in not just that area, but in other areas as well.
Zion Williamson and the Pelicans get ready to tip off 7 p.m. on the big 870 a.m., taking on the Brooklyn Nets this evening. I mentioned last night he had an off evening, but before that, I mean, Zion's been doing pretty good, 22, 31, 22-point nights. The rest of the team around him, not so much, except for, I guess you'd say, Trey Murphy right now is the lead dog on this team when it comes to scoring. You just wish there was more of it around these guys.
Yeah, Trey Murphy's been that guy, and my only criticism of him has been the aggressiveness that he can kind of lack at times where he just goes into the corner and he's not demanding the ball on offense. I'm like, dude, you are the Pelicans' best offensive player right now, if we're being completely honest, as far as a guy that can shoot 50, 40, 90.
Yeah, rumors are the Golden State Warriors are hot, hot, hot for Trey.
I don't blame him. I mean, he's a really strong piece that could be added to any contending team. And in all honesty, I'm sure the Pelicans want to keep Trey here long term because he is a really good fit for the NBA, like kind of moving forward, the type of player that he is as a forward.
Who else is making threes besides him for the Pels?
That is probably the number one issue offensively for this team, is that they'll kind of get in these ruts as far as three-point shooting goes, and turnovers are another thing. So it's kind of 1A, 1B. Turnovers are bad, but also three-point shooting, when they really start jacking it up and they're not falling, but they keep taking them, and then you get in these droughts, and then the opposing team is able to get back in games, take a lead, and never give it up. So, yeah, the Pelicans, I think, shooting has been a big issue. It has not been an issue for Trey Murphy, which is why he's so coveted around the league, but it's also why the Pelicans likely have a very hefty price tag on him if they're going to move off of him ahead of the deadline.
We're going to get more into our Pels discussion coming up next. Jake Madison, the Locked On Pelicans podcast, will join us on the other side of this break, coming back with more sports talk right here on WWL after this, folks. Back here on Sports Talk, folks, getting ready for Pelicans versus Brooklyn Nets, a 7 o'clock tip-off over on the big 870 AM to help us preview that and all things Pelicans. Jake Madison of the Locked On Pelicans podcast joining us now. Jake, man, how you making right now? I know it's been a rough season.
It's been a rough season, but there are some bright spots, and it's fun to see the rookies really playing well. So while they might not be winning, there's still some good to look forward to, hopefully, with this team.
Jay, I know you've mentioned accountability recently and the biggest obstacle for this franchise. With Willie Green gone, are you seeing any kind of shift in culture with James Borrego, the interim head coach, at the helm? Or is it too deep for like an interim coach to fix at the moment?
You know, look, I think when you look at it from the coaching perspective and the roster perspective, there's only so much that can be done when you have a roster that at times just doesn't have rotation level NBA guys out there. But you are seeing some good from interim head coach James Borrego. I think you are seeing a team kind of buy into a slightly different approach than what they've been doing before. He takes a very analytics heavy approach and really kind of preaches that to the players to get them to buy into what they want to do. If you look at this team, they've got a very different shot profile. Gone are pretty much almost all of those mid-range jumpers that you had seen in the past, and they're focusing more on threes and shots at the rim and getting to the free throw line, and those are the three most efficient shots in the league, and those are the shots that every team wants to be taking. And it takes a little bit to change players' mindsets to kind of get them to buy into that new type of mentality, but you're seeing it happen here, and I think that's pretty remarkable. You know, just from the get-go with James Borrego. And one of the most important things for a head coach to do is just get players buy-in for what you want to try and do, what you want to try and accomplish, and you're seeing some of that right now. It might not be turning into wins just simply because look at the roster, but at least you're getting that level of buy-in that you didn't really see under head coach Willie Green.
Jake, we're just over 3 weeks away from the trade deadline, February 5th coming up. It's going to be here before we know it. We've talked with different reporters about this. How aggressive do you expect the Pelicans to be at the deadline with this team the way it is the first half of the season? You know, they're still under 10 wins on the year. They've blown a lot of fourth quarter leads, which is a different story that we can talk about a little bit later on. But just generally speaking, with this Pelicans team, where they are, there's been reports Chris Haynes said that they're not going to move off of the key untouchable pieces with the rookies and then Trey, Zion, and Herb. But then there's also other reports out there that, you know, there's a price tag for some of these players and that they could be had. So just generally speaking, your thoughts on the Pelicans and how aggressive they'll be ahead of the deadline, which once again is just over 3 weeks away.
Yeah, so I don't want to see this team be aggressive at the trade deadline in any capacity. I don't want them to be aggressive buyers, and I can tell you that, you know, this was a group and a front office and ownership that really thought they could compete for the playoffs, really believed in this roster, and that was clearly misguided at best, I think. So I don't want them to believe they can still make a play-in tournament push. They're about 10 games out of the play-in spot right now. That's not what they should be doing. But I also don't want them to be aggressively trying to sell off pieces either, at least not at this trade deadline. We've heard the rumors around Herb Jones, around Trey Murphy. You don't want to be aggressively shopping those guys. You want guys to, you know, teams to come to you and make the best offers, and that if you get one of those deals that you just can't say no to, at least you have that there. But you don't want to just give away guys to give away guys at this point in time. And I think when you see this kind of rookie focus that you'll definitely see them shift to later on, you need quality players around Jeremiah Fears, around a Derek Queen, to go out and, you know, let those guys be their best. If you don't have guys that can make shots, guys can't get assists. So you do need to keep quality NBA players around the rookies, and I think that's how you help them grow as well and kind of minimize some of the mistakes that they might try and make. But they should be listening to offers for, you know, nearly everybody on this team. I think it's, you know, they should be listening to Zion Williamson trades, even if they don't end up moving him. And I can certainly see someone like Jose Alvarado or Sadiq Bey getting moved. And I think those are the two most likely guys to potentially get traded before the trade deadline in just a couple of weeks.
Well, Jake, I'm going to bring up a guy. What about Jordan Poole? It seems like it was a massive swing and a miss coming to New Orleans. Is he a movable piece at the deadline given his contract?
No, I really don't think so. And his play, you know, hasn't really done him any favors with just the level of inconsistency that you've seen from him here. This was someone that they thought was going to be a massive difference maker for the team, that was not just going to be a minor upgrade, but a significant upgrade. And that's why, in a sense, they almost overpaid a little bit for Jordan Poole. I don't really see a trade where he gets moved here either. You know, that would also take this front office kind of admitting we were wrong and admitting a mistake. And I don't necessarily think they're going to do that after just 6 months or so as we, you know, get closer to the trade deadline here. I think something would have need to come together in the offseason for that. You know, then he's an expiring deal. He becomes, you know, more valuable in a sense, or just has more value. Maybe valuable is not the right word, but has more value to other teams, is more of an expiring contract than the player himself. That's when I think you'd likely see something get done. But I don't think anyone wants to take on Jordan Poole at this point in time.
Jake, it's something that I had mentioned earlier, but the Pelicans' issues in the clutch. It's happened a couple different times within the last, I don't know, 10 days. The Lakers game comes to mind, the Magic game, obviously last night against the Nuggets as well, where the Pelicans play a pretty solid basketball game. They're leading throughout most, if not all, of the matchup, and then you get to the fourth quarter. Zion Williamson, Steve had played the audio the past segment, and we listened to him talk about needing to find a defensive identity. And yes, that is part of the issues that they have, where they're just giving up, you know, wide open layups in the fourth quarter and they just fall apart defensively. But also on the offensive end, it just feels like they really kind of tighten up when games get really tight and close in the fourth quarter, and they don't really have the guy that they need to go to. You can't really force the rookies to do that. That's just unfair to them at this point in their careers. You need, you know, your veteran pieces, the Trey Murphy, you know, Zion Williamson. Jordan Poole will take the shots, but it feels like he's been the opposite of clutch at times this year. And just your thoughts on not just the Pelicans' defense in the clutch, but their offense, which, like I mentioned, really tightens up.
So there's this was my show today for Locked On Pelicans, so I just talked about this. There are three reasons why they're losing clutch games, and you actually just hit on all of them. You know, first and foremost is the defense. They can't get stops. They can't get stops whatsoever on the defensive side of the ball. And late in that game against the Denver Nuggets, you saw the Nuggets execute really well. They were getting Jamal Murray switched on to Derek Queen, on to Zion Williamson. He can beat those guys off the dribble, or if they overcommit to him, he's going to find the open man, and they're going to get an open three-point look. And you saw that repeatedly down the stretch for the Denver Nuggets, and it's why they won that game. And then on the flip side of that, for the offensive side, they don't have that go-to score in clutch situations. They don't have the guy that when the defense ramps up their intensity, when the defense clamps down, they're just going to be able to get their shot off and be able to go and get you a bucket. You need a bailout score in a sense, and they just don't really have that kind of guy right now. I think Trey Murphy can blossom into that sort of player and develop into that player, but he's not there right now. This team has a lot of creation for others, but sometimes they lack self-creation. That was supposed to be a Jordan Poole kind of guy, but as you mentioned, that has not gone well this season. So that's going to leave them with just empty trips on the offensive end. And so the way you kind of mitigate that is get out in transition and run, but you need to get stops to do that. And that again goes to the defense that we just talked about right here. And then the third reason is just the rookies. They're not ready to contribute to winning basketball just yet. And that's totally okay. Rookies don't usually contribute to a team's win total until their third year in the league. So putting this kind of defensive burden or offensive burden on Jeremiah Fears, Derek Queen, that's just too much for their shoulders to handle right now. They'll grow into those players eventually, I think, and they've shown signs that they will. But right now, if you expect that, or if this Pelicans team more expected that to translate to wins, they were, again, misguided with how they viewed this roster.
Jake, a guy I'm missing and wondering if you've heard anything about, what's the latest, if anything, you know about with DeJounte Murray? Definitely curious to know his status, and will he even be around it? Would he be someone that a team might be interested at the trade deadline?
So they've been kind of quiet on that front when it comes to Murray. You know, we're right around a year from when that injury happened last season. So this is right around the time you would expect him to be coming back in some capacity or starting to ramp up activity. So I'm hopeful we'll hear something soon, but this is a bit of a different regime than the last one under David Griffin. They don't talk. We've heard from Joe Dumars once during the season so far, and that was when they fired head coach Willie Green. Otherwise, it's been kind of radio silence. And so I don't know if we're going to actually get an update on DeJounte Murray anytime soon. I don't see him as a guy that teams would really actively be trying to trade for right now. You're going to need to see him come back and see him play for a couple of months before you really know, how he is post-injury. And those type of injuries can really impact a guy's career. So I think teams would be very hesitant to trade for him in any capacity just because his contract runs for a couple more seasons too. So it's not like you can even just get him for cheap. You could, but you've got to factor in the contract and the salary cap and all of that. And I think that's going to be the type of thing that stops a deal from getting done at this point in time. He'll also be on a minutes restriction, the remainder of the season, I would imagine. So there's only so much impact that he'll be able to make going forward.
Jake, you had mentioned earlier Sadiq Bey. I think he's surpassed all our expectations from coming in. The connection with Troy Weaver was there. It made a lot of sense to bring him in. We thought he'd be a good 3-and-D guy. He's been way more than that. A very, very strong veteran piece on this roster. But at the same time, I was talking with, I think, Chris Dodson about this last night, that I don't know if his value is really ever going to get higher. Is he going to be a player that you could see the Pelicans moving on from ahead of the deadline? Because, like I said, I think you could get a decent price for someone like Sadiq Bey, who obviously worked out as an offseason signing for you.
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a couple players, right? And Sadiq Bey falls into this, that are more valuable on a contending team than a rebuilding or whatever this Pelicans team is, and Sadiq Bey is one of those guys, a kind of 3-and-D level kind of player. Look, Golden State Warriors, who are, pining for a Herb Jones level guy, if you can't get Herb Jones, maybe just try and get Sadiq Bey, who can give you some of that kind of stuff. Not that same level of defense, but certainly the offense is slightly better, I would say, and you get defensive effort. Most teams could use a Sadiq Bey, particularly on the contract that he's on, and that's going to really factor in for a lot of teams as they look to try and trade for him. So if you can get that for him, and if this team realizes they're not really going to be a title contender next year, so you don't need a Sadiq Bey as much, yeah, try and get maximum value. Same thing for Jose Alvarado. He's probably much more valuable to a contending team than he is to a rebuilding Pelicans team, and as much as it pains me to see Jose Alvarado in another jersey, right, I think that's something the Pelicans need to at least consider if you want to try and kind of do smart asset management. And then same thing for Herb Jones. Herb Jones would be insanely valuable, particularly on his contract, to any of the top teams in the league, and they would gladly, I think, move 2 first-round picks for him. And if you have that on the table, do you really need to consider it? Again, as much as it would hurt to see Herb Jones elsewhere, and I think he's vitally important to any sort of culture that you would want to build, but at a certain point, you've got to realize where you are in the Western Conference, which is the bottom, and where you might be next year. And if it's not going to be a strong contender, you've got to kind of take that right type of team-building approach and make some tough decisions potentially.
And Jake, finally, it felt like the Pelicans, when they were in Brooklyn, kind of got out-physicaled by the Nets. What's got to be different tonight for the Birds to pick up a win?
Yeah, look, it's on the defensive side of the ball. They got guys that can score. Michael Porter Jr., who's been a bit of a revelation this season, particularly with his three-point shooting and the scoring that he's done, you've got to get stops. The Pelicans' offense, particularly in the half court, is just not good enough to be in a shootout and win consistently. It starts on the defensive side of the ball. That starts with effort. That's been lacking, particularly from some of the top guys on this team. They've got to get out there. They've got to defend at a high level.
Awesome stuff as always, Jake. Thank you. Enjoy the game tonight, and hopefully get that W.
It'd be nice to see you. Appreciate y'all having me on.
Thanks, Jake.
Jake Madison, Locked On Pelicans podcast. Check out all his great work there. We're going to take a break, come back with more of Sports Talk. Stay tuned right after this, folks, on WWL.
Mom, Dad, I'm not throwing shade, but the whole New Year's resolution thing, kind of slipping, no offense. Anyway, my best friend Jenny's dad, crushing it. He uses Blue Apron. He says he ordered one pan assemble and bake meals and these things called meal kits. They're all super easy to make. He keeps yelling, protein and fiber, baby. Also, the food, we tried it. So good. So maybe check it out or whatever. Blue Apron. Get 50% off your first two orders plus free shipping with code LISTEN50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary. But the good news is, if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Keep it locked on WWL, folks, for the latest news about Mayor Helena Moreno, her new administration, and New Orleans City Council. Will bring you big breaking news when it happens, interviews with key players involved in the rebirth of New Orleans, and share honest opinions about what's happening, like Mayor Moreno and business and community leaders across greater New Orleans and the Gulf South. WWL is all in for New Orleans. Looking at the break in the PMAC, we've got the LSU men's basketball team has a 38-22 lead over the Kentucky Wildcats. Man, those Tigers looking for their first SEC win of the season. Hopefully can close this one out against the Wildcats. Tigers
Steve,
right now 0-3 in SEC play.
A really good close to the first half where LSU got off to like a 16-3 lead.
Right.
Kentucky was ice cold from the field. Good defensive pressure as well from this LSU team. But at the same time, Kentucky went on a little bit of a run there. They cut the lead to 10, but LSU pushes forward. They hit a big three to push it up to 15, and they enter halftime with a 16-point lead. So we'll keep you updated on that one. Hopefully LSU can pick up win number one in SEC play.
I mentioned WWL is all in for New Orleans. Charlie, we found out that Dante Moore is all in for Oregon. And for us Saints fans, that's a bit of a hit for this draft class, not because the Saints are interested in taking him, but just because that's another QB off the board for other teams to covet and maybe push another valued player down to pick number eight.
So it's a fascinating storyline to follow. It's something that Mike and I had brought up in the 4 o'clock hour, just kind of rehashing this from SpotTrack on Twitter. Based on SpotTrack's estimates, the number two overall pick in this year's NFL draft would be due a four-year, $52.5 million fully guaranteed contract that includes $34 million signing bonus. I'll read that again. 4 years, $52 million contract, fully guaranteed for the number two overall pick. Dante Moore would have been the number two pick. I don't think there's any question there. Realistically, if you're the New York Jets and you have the quarterback situation that you have, where Brady Cook was getting minutes late in the season, Justin Fields did not work out as a free agent signing, they would have taken Dante Moore. No doubt in my mind.
And now, I think he knew that.
Here's the thing as well. Yes. Here's the thing as well. Even on the 0.1% chance that Dante Moore wouldn't go to the Jets at the number two overall pick, you know who's picking at number three? The Arizona Cardinals. Right. You know who's desperately trying to get rid of that Kyler Murray contract and move off of Murray and start a rebuild with a new head coach? The Arizona Cardinals. I think the Cardinals were in a real rough position from the get-go because everybody thought or everybody knew that they needed a QB, but at the same time, number one pick, the Las Vegas Raiders, the number two pick, the New York Jets, you figure that they would be taking Fernando Mendoza and Dante Moore, one and two, respectively. With Moore deciding that he's going back to school, Steve, that is a seismic decision because I legitimately think he was a lock to go two, and if not two, three. So the reason that it's bad for the Saints is now if you're the Jets, you just go best player available at this point. Your roster has all the holes in the world that you have to fill and plug up. Quarterback was one of them, but you're not taking Ty Simpson with the number two overall pick.
Nope.
So you're going to likely go, I don't know, maybe an Arvell Reese, the linebacker from Ohio State. It really also hurts the Tennessee Titans because Tennessee has their quarterback of the future with Cam Ward. They're picking number four, right? So if you were in that situation where you could likely get the top guy on your board with that pick, I think you'd be feeling great. However, now with Dante Moore going back to school, it opens things up to where Mendoza's still going to be the 101, Steve, but there's going to be one more blue chip prospect that's going to be taken now by the Jets ahead of the Saints that's not going to be there at pick 8, unfortunately.
Yeah, definitely a whole big shakeup, and I have to believe that with Moore, the key was I don't want to go to the New York Jets, although we know that the New York Jets might be in the same position next year, and what is Moore going to do then?
And they have multiple first-round picks next year, too. That's a Jets team that's going to be right back near the top of the draft.
Sure.
So I understand people saying that he didn't want to be a New York Jet. That might have played a part in the decision to go back to school. The way that I looked at it and the way that Mike and I had talked about it in the 4 o'clock hour is that Dante Moore's 20 years old. And he only has 20 career college starts under his belt. I think he thought, like, the way that he views it, and this is a risky way to go about doing things because you had the guaranteed thing there being the number two or at the very worst, the number three overall pick in this year's draft, is that he wants to bet on himself going back to Oregon, continuing his development. And if he has a fantastic season leading that Duck squad in 2026, he very well could be in the same spot, if not even the 101 in 2027. But that's a gamble, Steve.
Sure.
I mean, Mike had brought up the whole situation with Garrett Nussmeier, how he kind of bet on himself going back to school for another year, and he went from potentially being a late first-round pick last year to now look where he is this year after his senior season at LSU.
What are folks saying about Nuss for the draft right now?
He's not a day one pick.
Right.
So
I know that.
In all likelihood, top 100 pick still. Okay. Like, we'll see what happens with him in the pre-draft process. I think some team is going to fall in love with his leadership and tangible traits and everything like that. And it's not a great quarterback class, so a QB needy team will likely use maybe a top 100 pick on Nuss.
You mentioned that. I saw on X the BetMGM posted, you know, all the available quarterbacks for this year's draft after Moore pulled out. He's like, worst QB class ever?
It's definitely become significantly worse because that was your number two guy. Mendoza is obviously the 101. There's no doubt about that. But once again, we'll rehash this. The reason that it's not good for the Saints is that now the Jets aren't going quarterback. The Saints did not have to worry about quarterback. They have Tyler Shuck. They feel good about him for the 2026 season and beyond. So they're going to take one of those blue chip prospects at the top of this draft class that would have otherwise potentially fallen to a later pick and push the board down to where the Saints were at pick 8.
Yeah, and I've been seeing a ton of obviously mock drafts being put out, Charlie, and my hopes of getting Caleb Downs at that number 8 pick seem really out of reach. I've seen as high as number 3, I think, for him in this draft.
The good news for Saints fans is that with the team where they are right now needing offensive weapons, even if you can't, because my wish list still includes one of the top three edge rushers. If Arvell Reese somehow falls, yep, or David Bailey, Reuben Bain, those are the three guys that you should expect to be top 10 picks. If all of them are gone by pick 8, which could be the case now with Dante Moore declaring that he was going back to school and maybe the Jets take an edge rusher with their top pick, the number two selection, there's still some really talented offensive weapons available with the top 10 pick that you should keep your eye on too.
Hopefully the Jets get somebody that can get some interceptions. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news. Come back with more of Sports Talk right after this, folks. Stay tuned on WWL.
Confronting high credit card debt can feel scary, but the good news is if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, financial relief options are now available. National Debt Relief is currently offering debt relief designed to reduce what you owe, fast-tracking your way to being debt-free. If you qualify for debt relief, you may be able to pay back significantly less than what you owe and save thousands of dollars. Imagine only paying one low monthly program payment you can afford and saving money as you become debt-free. National Debt Relief has already helped bring debt relief to over 550,000 U.S. consumers, earning thousands of five-star reviews and an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. You're stronger than your credit card debt. Take the first step and visit nationaldebtrelief.com to see what debt relief you may qualify for. That's nationaldebtrelief.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times?
You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.